If you invest in a long-term taxable account, there's probably no bigger headache than getting that surprise 1099 form. You know, the one announcing massive capital gains distributions from a fund you didn't even sell.
Oh, yeah. That's a real pain.
So today, we're doing a deep dive into the structural reasons why ETFs, well, they're often the unsung tax heroes compared to traditional mutual funds.
And that surprise distribution, it can be brutal. It happens way more often than you might think. We've actually got data showing just how common this is.
Get this.
Even in 2022, a down year, right? S&P 500 sinking badly.
Down like 18%.
Exactly. Even then, over 42% of active mutual funds still handed out taxable gains. And we're talking a weighted average of like 5% of the fund's NAV, the net asset value.
Wow, 5%. That's a huge potential liability just dropped on you, the investor.
Yeah.
So our mission today is really to understand the two fundamental mechanisms that give ETFs this powerful tax shield.
Right. So the first mechanism, it's actually pretty simple. It's just the way they trade. Think about a mutual fund. If a bunch of investors suddenly decide, I want my money back, they redeem their shares.
Right.
The fund manager often has to sell underlying stocks or bonds inside the fund to raise cash for those redemptions.
Okay. Makes sense.
But when they sell securities that have gone up in value, they realize capital gains inside the fund. And those gains, well, they have to be distributed usually near year end to everyone still holding shares.
So wait, your fellow investor selling out could actually trigger a tax bill for you, even if you did nothing.
Precisely. That's the part that catches so many people off guard. It feels fundamentally unfair to some.
Yeah, it really does. And the ETF model, you're saying, it just avoids that whole problem.
Completely. When you sell an ETF share, you're just selling it to another buyer out there on an exchange, you know, like selling a share of Apple or Google.
Feels like a stock.
Exactly. That transaction happens outside the fund's actual portfolio. The ETF manager doesn't have to sell any underlying assets to pay you off. So no forced selling, no forced internal capital gain realization.
Okay, that's a clear difference. But you mentioned two mechanisms. What's the second one?
This is where it gets really interesting and maybe a bit more technical, but it's crucial. It involves something called in-kind redemptions.
In-kind.
Yeah. So think about the really big players, the authorized participants or APs. These are usually big brokers or market makers. When they want to redeem a huge block of ETF shares, like 50,000 shares at once, a creation unit.
Okay.
They don't get cash back from the ETF provider.
No cash. So what do they get?
They receive the actual underlying securities in kind. Uh-huh. So a basket of the actual stocks or bonds that the ETF holds.
They just get the stocks directly.
Directly. And here's the fascinating part, the critical tax advantage. Yeah. That whole transfer process, giving the stocks to the AP in exchange for the ETF shares, is considered tax-free for the fund itself under current U.S. tax law.
Wait, tax-free? So the ETF can offload appreciated stocks without realizing a gain inside the fund. How does that work strategically? Can they pick which stocks to hand over?
That's the absolute key, yes. The ETF issuer, working with the AP, can strategically select which specific tax lots of securities to transfer out. And guess which ones they choose?
Let me guess.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have gone up the most. The ones with the lowest cost basis.
Bingo. They hand over the shares with the lowest cost basis, the ones carrying the biggest built-in unrealized capital gains.
Wow.
By pushing those highly appreciated shares out of the fund portfolio tax-free through this in-kind redemption process, they effectively raise the average cost basis of all the securities left in the fund.
So they're kind of like scrubbing the portfolio clean of its biggest potential tax liabilities over time.
Exactly. It dramatically minimizes the fund's overall unrealized gain, what some people call the tax overhang, and that significantly reduces the chance the ETF will ever have to make a capital gains distribution down the road.
Okay, putting it all together then. The trading on an exchange avoids forced selling, and these in-kind redemptions let them strategically remove gains. What's the net effect for, you know, the average person investing?
The net effect, it boils down to control. These structural differences shift the decision and the timing of when capital gains taxes are paid. It moves away from the fund manager, who might be forced into sales by other investors' actions.
Right.
And puts it squarely back onto you, the individual investor. You generally only realize a capital gain when you personally decide to sell your ETF shares.
So the timing is in my hands, not dictated by the fund or other shareholders.
Largely, yes. And this structural difference, well, is why if you look at long-term data, passive ETFs and even many lower turnover active ETFs consistently rank as far more tax efficient. Active mutual funds, especially those with high turnover, tend to be at the other end of the spectrum, distributing gains much more often.
That ability to clean out the fund's biggest tax problems using these tax-free in-kind transfers, it sounds, well, incredibly powerful. Does that power ever lead to tactics that maybe push the envelope a bit?
It certainly does. That statutory rule, the one exempting in-kind redemptions from tax, it's so advantageous that, well, sophisticated players have developed highly structured, coordinated transactions. Sometimes they're called heartbeat trades.
Heartbeat trades.
Yeah. Essentially, they involve temporary large investments made specifically to create a block of shares big enough, a creation unit, just so it can be immediately redeemed in kind. The sole purpose is often to force the removal of specific, highly appreciated securities from the ETF portfolio, often right before a rebalance or a potential taxable event, all tax-free for the fund.
Huh. So, gaming the system a little.
Well, it's technically legal under the current rules, but it definitely raises some important questions, you know. Is this incredibly specific tax efficiency just smart fund design? Or does it represent a kind of loophole, an unfair advantage that ETFs have over mutual funds and maybe other investment types? It's definitely something for you to think about as you look at your own taxable accounts and decide where to put your long-term money.